Hi everyone, I hope you're doing super well in these times.
Crazy times.
We just want to say thank you. Thank you for your love, your support to our whole community and wherever you are in the world, whether you're coming into the salons or whether you're a part of our family in some other way, we appreciate you. It's been 1 year that, of course, we're never, ever, ever going to forget, but we so appreciate your patience with us, your kindness, your generosity, your love. Thank you for supporting us in any way that you are. We appreciate you. Hope you're having an amazing year so far. Happy April, happy Easter, happy Passover. If you're new to this area, well, welcome. Welcome to paradise. Welcome to one of the most amazing places on the planet. The people, the weather, the environment, the community, it's all just incredible. We've been in this area for a long time and so we really love it. It's amazing. You've made a great choice. Welcome to this beautiful spot of the world. On this episode of the Salon Podcast, the failure of the salon industry. What is it? What can be done? We're going to talk about it. A special message to our team, our very special team, and a real spotlight on a true hero. Check it out. It's been very important to me to upgrade the industry, to do my part and whatever I can to make the industry better, because everyone benefits from that, not just our business or our salons or our people, but the industry as a whole, whether it's from the schools all the way down to salons and every kind of salon all the way through and through. And you know, we had a discussion about taxes and the impact on salons with this one tax law that's the distinction between restaurants not having to pay taxes on tips and salons having to pay taxes on tips, which is an odd unfairness in tax law, but that's something that's being worked on right now. But hopefully it passes, I don't know. But fundamentally, something bigger than that is the fact that salons as a whole are shrinking. Employee-based salons are getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and there's not as many. There's also not as many stylists in the field. We're losing stylists who are going to school, paying for school, and not finding a home in the industry, and that's disturbing. So there's something happening in our industry, and it's preventing the growth of the industry, or the betterment of it too, because I see a lot of salons are closing, or switching to another model, which is the a booth rent or suite rental, which they have a niche and they have their spot in the industry as well. The issue is there aren't enough salons to support the students that are coming out of the schools that need mentoring and training beyond the schools, because the schools don't provide everything that a professional needs to be highly successful. And there's a very high failure rate in the industry.
Even in suites, what is recommended, like if you go look at a suites website or something, if they come to your school, what they recommend is they actually recommend you go work in another salon first before you come and open a suite, which is kind of just like, kind of says it all, you know.
Well, and that's, you know, and that has led to a lot of resentment in salons too, because salon owners pour their heart and soul into an apprentice or an associate or somebody right out of school, and they build them up and they grow them and they develop them, and then they go off and they leave to a suite. Now, in looking at that another way, because we as salon owners have a responsibility in the matter, like why are they choosing to leave? What are we not providing for them that they're leaving? What are salons not providing? What are we as owners not giving to those people that are leaving that has them want to leave? Like what's missing? And I know a lot of the conversations and a lot of the forums is about, well, they're millennials, which is you, millennials. And they're lazy and they don't have the same values. And
they don't now have the same work ethic. Or no, they want to work when they want to work.
And they don't want to work as many hours. They don't want to trudge through the snow. They don't want to train as much. They don't want to do the work that another group of us had to do.
In the past, generations had to be done. And that's all I ever hear. I still hear it even as a younger generation working beneath that generation.
So not only, and then it's the Ys and the Zs and whoever it is that I hear a community saying, well, that's the reason why, and they're just ungrateful and they just don't get it and they're just unwilling and all the rest of that. Well, being a parent of a millennial or millennials, a couple of millennials, the same way, it's like we raised millennials, so we're responsible. But at the same token, what matters more right now is in, if we were to do some self-reflection and say, well, why do people leave? Well, why do they want to leave our business? You know, what are we not doing? And I think that's a really fundamentally, the bottom line here is they're still people. You're still a person. You have the needs that you have. Now, what qualifies me to have this conversation? Because I'm no expert in it. I'm not a psychiatrist, a psychologist, or any of those. Just somebody with some experience in business. We have a chain of salons that have been in business for over 40 years, and I haven't worked here for 40 years, but I've been around the business my whole life. I was born and raised in the business.
Of that happening.
Came up in the business.
Something you have to continually. I mean, I grew up learning how to deal with that because I would grow up and you get close to people and then they're gone and you don't know how to feel about that. You know, it's a weird feeling. And that's what I think empathizing with salon owners, I understand how it feels that you pour your heart and soul into people and then they leave. So what ends up happening is I think a lot of people get resentment even towards a group of people like me, especially as salon suites become more prevalent. You know, it's all they just keep leaving. So then you continue to build that anger and resentment towards them without looking at what can we do to make sure to better this industry all around and to continue to have actual salons and to have that community and love and passion that we love to give. That's why we're here. We want to give. We want to help build these people, future stylists, and continue the industry to grow. So what looking at, reflecting at what we can do to make sure that continues, you know.
Yeah, well, what do I have to do? Like, how do I have to alter myself and our business and our culture so that they don't want to leave? They don't want to go anywhere else. Or if they do, if they're that unhappy here, then it would be appropriate and okay for them to leave. But, you know, over the course of the last year, especially, making sure that the people, that I do everything I can for the people that are here so that they really want to be here. And if they don't, it's totally okay. But the bigger picture is this for our industry, because I see it, it's having such a significant impact on it, is what do we need to do? How can we be that? And I don't mean giving them everything that they want, because it's really fundamentally not always about money. A lot of times we think it's just about money, like the bottom line is dollar. And that is so not true with everybody. It's not about the bottom line dollar. Yes, that matters in the equation, but there's so much more to it than that. And I don't say this as an expert. I don't have the perfect system. I know a lot of salon owners look for what is the right pay system. You know, there's the Summit system, and there's strategies, and there's many other formats of pay systems and operation systems. This isn't to say any one of them is better than the other or that there's the right way to do it. I know there are different formulas for it that work and don't work, but fundamentally there has to be something else behind that, because as a whole, the industry is failing, and it's failing these students that are coming out of schools that need that mentorship, that need that guidance. So many stylists I see just have thrown in the towel in the last couple of years and said, forget it, I'll just rent you the chair. Just give me 100, 200 bucks a week and it's yours. You come and go as you please. Here's the key. And I don't need the headache anymore.
Well, and so at some point, you can't blame them because it is a lot of work. I mean, it's a lot of work. Like, I empathize with those people because it's difficult. It's difficult to get your heart. It hurts, you know. So why not take the emotion out of it and just there you go, you know. But on the other side, look at what it's so much more rewarding to when you have the people that stay and watching them grow and watching them become successful. What an amazing feeling that is.
Well, and I think that's why most salon owners love that. I think they genuinely love that part of it. And that's why it hurts them so much when people leave. But there are other aspects to it. Like, what are all the aspects? I mean, that's my question as I look deeper and to make sure that I'm doing the things that have people want to stay here and be here ongoingly. Like, are they growing professionally? Am I providing them what they need professionally? Did they come here for education? Am I making sure they get education? Or am I harping on the extra day off that they want? Or like we have somebody this week who has children who can't work this week. She cannot be at the salon as a desk coordinator, can't be physically at the salon this week. So, you know, in the past, I know in our culture, what has happened is, okay, well, we're given no choice. She can't be here, so she isn't going to be here. And we will then put a little check mark in the resent box to say, oh, that really ticked us off that she didn't work it out. But the reality is she can't work, she can't do it. So this is, especially now, these are new times.
Well,
this
and
is new
ways. And she's amazing at what she does. So why am I going to be upset with her? Because that's her, what's going on in her life.
Oh, you know, I see it in those Facebook groups all the time. Well, how would you handle this? Well, I would write them up. Tell them to look at your manual. Tell them they can't do that. And that's, you know, write another rule about something. But there's some of these, it's so easy. Yeah, that's the simple way. Sure, so quote a rule and watch the turnover. Well, that doesn't mean give them whatever they want either. But at the same time, this is a young adult here who is needs some support in a certain way. And there's no formula for any of this. It's just about caring about another human being. Like, I work for you. What can I do for you that has you want to be here, that has you want to have a future here? Because I, you know, and I don't have the answers to that. This is an inquiry for salon owners. I know we have a low turnover rate. We do. We have a very low turnover rate. We don't crank people out and have a real high turnover rate where people run off to suites. And I'm not saying we're doing anything perfectly, because you could probably ask some of our team. They could probably tell you a dozen, many more than a dozen things of what we could do better, or what I could do better, or how we could do more. I'm on a quest and a hunt for that. But at the same time, I'm in this conversation genuinely because people engaged with the last video that we had about the industry. I mean, obviously there's a concern, there's compassion, there's love for the industry. People love this industry, and to watch it just, you know, go away. And I know there's great champions for it. They're doing their best that they can. The Michael Coles and the Neil Dukoffs and the strategy, you know, the groups of people out there, they're doing great things for it.
Associate programs that still care about making the associate program and why that's important, and creating those steps along to make amazing stylists.
So I'm just inviting you to talk to me about what are the challenges that you deal with and what's happening for you. Now, we have a salary system, a salary pay system. It's not perfect, but it eliminates some of the other issues where it's all sales-based and all commission-based, where there has to be, now there's arguments for both, and I'm not having that conversation now. I'm just saying that our version of that is working to a degree that, you know, I think we've gotten it better along the way, but they're paid to make people happy versus only to, you know,
sales.
Reward sales and only sales. So it changes the environment a little bit. It also gives people a little bit of security. I wanted to make sure that people had a 401k and that they had health insurance and dental and eye and some other benefits that weren't always available in the industry. So this is an invitation to you to just have a conversation about it. Let me know what your thoughts are about what's happening to the industry. It's fragmented now. I see students who are yearning for the guidance and the mentorship, and there's not as much of it as there used to be. So as a salon owner or a salon professional or a school owner or somebody just in the business, what do you see? What do you need in the business that would help you or have you grow and develop in this?
Well, and I think the salon industry it's so important because there is so little of it left. So those of you that are still in there, whether that is a school or anything, because you can see it in schools as well, that students yearn to go to those kind of schools that have that camaraderie and the love and kindness. What are you guys doing to continue along, even though I know it is difficult? What do you feel about this?
Are you ready to throw in the towel? Are you struggling? Not that we're even going to say, here's the answer to it, but as an ongoing inquiry, because I want to do my part in sharing or supporting and doing what we can in the industry to elevate it, to make it better, professionalize it, to help the industry as a whole be more successful
or
and grow.
Or if you're in a suite or if you rent a chair somewhere, what is something that you feel like you like pros and cons of being in salons and not being in salons, like hearing directly feedback from those
sure
people?
Everyone, you know, the whole industry, the industry as a whole, because or if you've been in the industry and then you got out of it because you couldn't make it, or this last year has wiped you out, the percentage of people that, yeah, it's, you know, it's just natural for them, they just, customers are drawn to them, they just build business and they have a natural gift to do amazing work and be amazing to all people, and you're going to grow no matter what you do. But then there's a large percentage who really have to hustle and work hard, and it's been a struggle. So every gamut of the whole picture, what do you think? This is to you, to our special team, to our family. A thank you to our team for the last year of what, you know, we have a smaller team that is doing more. Everybody's doing more, and it's been a year now since this whole thing started. Everybody's taken on new roles for
everybody,
for things that we didn't even know, and we didn't even know, and adapting, and, you know, and that's the blessing that I'm so grateful for every one of you. Thank you for always having the willingness and the ability to stop on a dime and shift gears, and to always be willing to adapt to whatever changes are coming and not get too stuck on the way that the past was, because the past is in the past. You know, some of it we love and is great and we can't bring with us, and some of it we can, and what we can is great, and what we can't, we adapt and move forward, and that's what we have to keep doing over and over and over again. But I especially appreciate you for all that you've been able to do. And I'm talking to every one of you, because you've all contributed in a special way in this last year. And I know it's been difficult. You've had to rearrange your lives completely. I understand that. I appreciate that. And thank you for the patience and the generosity and the kindness through everything that's happened for all of us, because we've all been through something significant, no matter what. And you've just been a tremendous team, and I'm super grateful.
Everybody, the teamwork I've experienced, that I've felt, like, it seems like everybody has just the most amazing attitude, even if not every day is a great day. Overall, throughout the last year, I mean, between doing deliveries, between changing the whole way we run the salon, we appreciate your willingness to be a part of us and who we are, and loving and caring about one another. I'm so proud of who we have here right now.
The base, the core of the family has gotten stronger, has gotten better, been able to do more with less. And we keep kind of upgrading the people around us as we bring in new people and bring in the newest and best version of humanity to be our partners in teamwork here. So, you know, we've been tolerating less of the nonsense, which has gone on for, you know, a long time. There was a lot of people over time that, you know, people would always complain to me and say, why do we still have fill in the blank? Why are they still here? You know, and there was this huge hearted side always that was like, well, they're gonna get better. It's gonna turn out, it's gonna happen. And, you know, deep inside we know it's not, or it didn't, or it wouldn't. Not that we are there yet or have it all perfect, but we're definitely striving to make sure that you have the best support around you. You have the best team around you. I had a phone call today with somebody who is going to be joining our team in a new way that we haven't done for a long time. And that's somebody who has some experience in the business. In the past, when we've done that, listen, we've made some mistakes, but we've also captured some incredible people along the way in fulfilling a need for the business. We have a lot of business that we're not able to do right now. And we're about, overall, if you don't count the time period that we were closed, over the course of the last year, we're about 15% down from the prior year. If you count the time period that we're closed, those 50 something days, obviously it's more than that because we had no income at all during that time, down about 15%. I think it was 22% at the Village, 17% at Bayfront, and 1% at the Promenade. And some people have changed their schedules and, you know, not working as much and have to take care of their families. And accounting for all that, that's where we're at right now and not able to accommodate. So we also aren't going to just put anybody in a position to fail or not succeed by just opening up a chair and saying, well, there you go, we have the business, just make it happen, because we've done that years and years ago, where, oh, we have the business, let's just put somebody in a chair. And it's not the same degree of our quality or what right. We put into it. They don't have the culture or the humanity or the love that is required, or the talent, because all those things kind of combine. Well, over the course of the last year, there's been somebody who we've been doing mutual clients with from Chicago. His name is Pascal. We have built a relationship with him over the last several months. I really looked at him and had conversations with him to see that the guy has the heart and the humanity and the love of what our culture is about, has some fantastic experience, but has the experience without the ego. He's got a humble, good-natured kindness about him, and he is going to join our program, which is really exciting because he's specifically a cutter. He's Jacques Desange trained, came over here with Jacques Desange when they first opened. And anybody who's a long timer in the business knows that that was a brand that was well known for cutting and the quality of cutting, and brought over Frederick Fekai from New York. But he doesn't run around here saying that's who he is. He's just a humble, solid, good core hair cutter who loves hair cutting. He's French. He's got the accent, which is awesome. Just love listening to him talk, and I think it'll be a great addition to us. So, you know, this past week, I went to pick up a prescription for Michelle, and the pharmacist who I see at the CVS that we go to is a really special person. I met her a few years ago after the hurricane, right after the Hurricane Irma. She came out to help an older customer who needed her medication but missed seeing the pharmacist after the hurricane had happened, and this was right after they opened back up. And I saw her hug this client back when it was okay to hug. This was hurricane times. She gave her a big hug, and I just saw the humanity in her. She was a very special person. I think I gave her a gift card to come to the salon.
I remember
she
that.
Became a good
I remember hearing about her.
Client.
And her daughter, too, as well, right?
Yeah, and just a great family. And she has a specific type of cancer that she's been being treated for. It's been a struggle for her. She doesn't make it look like a struggle, but she's going through a lot to be treated for that. She would go back and forth to Miami, and when I'd see her from time to time, she'd tell me about the latest. And when I saw her last weekend, she was explaining to me that the latest treatment that she's on is she's on a clinical trial, and she has to travel to Washington, Baltimore area once a month to go up there for this trial. And I asked her why she was doing that, and she said because her doctor was treating her here or in Miami, said that he had run out of options for her for the treatment of this cancer in her brain. And this clinical trial was something that she could try. And she was getting ready to leave in a couple days. In fact, she might have gone there on Friday, I think, to fly up there to get her treatment and then fly back. She does this on her own, but she does it. She talked about it like it was going to pick up milk, like it was just not that big a deal. And to have that over your head on a daily basis, to think the thought like that, and when I'm thinking my biggest worry of the day is, oh boy, it's 3 degrees warmer in here today than I normally like it to be, so I'm going to get a little more sweat. That's my biggest issue of the day. And then having a conversation with her about where she's headed and why she's headed there. She's just always been this incredible spirit to me, this incredible woman. She is somebody, when you talk about a spotlight on somebody good and just a good heart and a good soul, and somebody who I love and appreciate her. Amazing attitude. She is still working. Yeah. She looks fantastic. She looks amazing. And that's where I saw her, was at the pharmacy. And you know, this was just last week. She's doing extraordinary. I so appreciate her. I love her. Mm-hmm. And, thank you for being such an inspiration, but that's truly genuinely a good person, like a spotlight on a good human being. She has every reason in the world and every right in the world to be, oh, woe is me, man, this sucks. You know, I've been dealt this card, and she's just making the most of it. And, that really has me appreciate every moment, including this moment right now, because that's all we have. And having my daughter here with me. And
dude, my dad. How cool, who gets to do that?
And we had our little powwow, which is not like you would think. It's not like you sit down and you check things off like a meeting. We do that. One's eating salmon, one's texting, one's playing on the computer, and we have intermittent conversations along the way.
So. Yeah, he's working on all these like numbers and everything, and then I'm like, oh, this is happening. What's your opinion on this? I need coaching on this. I need, tell me how, what should I do for this? And
who got arrested? Who got arrested?
Oh gosh. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ouch, that hurt. Okay.
Yeah, you know, just whatever's going on in life, you know, there's always somebody, you know, so there's always something, you know. Nothing that's more important, you know. I heard that this thing about, you know, all the things that we want, we always want something. There's always this, you know, kind of, oh, when I get the house, when I get the car, when I get the person, when I... when you're sick, you know, really a sick person, they only want one thing. Somebody who's sick, they only want one thing. Just get me well. I don't want to be sick. But when you're not sick, you're like, well, you know, I want a Tesla and I want a house and I want a boat and I want this from Amazon.
There's always like physical
handbag,
things you need.
I want a purse. I want, and you know, none of that matters in the scheme of things. It's just how it is. You know, there's these natural wants that we always want. When you don't have your health, when you don't have your well-being, nothing else matters. If you know somebody who's good, if you know somebody who's got that heart, got that kindness, I know we asked about this before, but I really, really mean it. Somebody who, I mean, they don't have to, you know, be Gandhi. They could just be somebody in a coffee shop who's making people's day, who's just being kind, being loving, being nurturing. Let's spotlight them. Talk about them. Take a minute to send me a note and say, you know, there's this barista or this checkout person at Publix or whoever it is.
It could be anybody.
Even if it's a guy, okay, yes, because we're going to give them a makeover, so maybe the guy doesn't want it, but his significant other or his mother or somebody in his family does. But we want to do something special for those, yes, to put a spotlight on that. You know, most things that are seen online and the things that get the most attention, the most views, are the catastrophes. Are the bad people and the catastrophes and the negative stuff is the one we click on. It's just human nature.
Right.
Well, we're just doing everything we can to spotlight the good stuff, okay? So take a minute to do that. Just to say, yeah, I know somebody who's great, and you should take care of this person. I'll do the follow-up. We'll do the legwork on it, okay? But we want to acknowledge the goodness in the world. So help us out by telling us who those good people are. Not just only talking about the bad.
That's our favorite thing to do, is to take care of people. And we want to feature it and spotlight that person and make that person see why they're special.
It's also good for us, too. We get to transform them, too. And it lets us show off our work in another way. And we get to do that every day. But to take somebody in who maybe ordinarily didn't have that as a gift, but to give them something special. So thank you. Thank you. Thanks for being a part of the family. Thank you for taking the time to watch this. We really mean it. We did this different today, and you know, it's just a regular conversation, just you and us. Okay. Yes. Thanks for being around.
Have a great week.
See you soon.
Happy
Monday. Bye. The fitness challenge, because I didn't bring the scale with me this week.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so
I'm sorry. I don't want to talk about this. I'm just kidding.
So, well, why don't you want to talk about it?
Because it's just difficult. The weekends are hard for me.
Just the weekend?
No, I did pretty good during the week last week.
And what's pretty good?
I was working out and eating right. It was just the weekend I didn't work out and I didn't eat right.
Okay. So you had 5 days of working out, eating good?
Four.
You had four workouts?
Yes.
Okay. And then three?
But I still ate good on Friday.
Ate good on Friday? So you had five?
Yeah,
five of that workout. Okay, good. So you don't know your results, but you didn't do any.
I don't like that part.
You don't like the results part? How are we supposed to know who's going to win?
I don't know. We'll do it. I don't know. We've 2 weeks.
Well, there's no scale here right now, so you can't do anything about it. So you have to go home and do it. You have to go home and weigh yourself for the stats on screen. Okay.
Okay. Well, yeah. We still have 2 weeks.
Yeah, we do.
I know Anand asked me too. I was like, oh. I'm just kidding. I didn't do horrible. But I feel like I should be more committed.
I feel like you should be more committed. So what do you mean by that?
Because I just didn't eat well this weekend.
Okay. So are you back on track today?
Yeah, I ate salmon with you.
Is that all you had today? I mean, you have a, however you're working out, you're eating. You're just not eating bad, or you're eating a certain way that you
correct,
do it?
Correct.
Okay. Like no carbs?
Correct.
Protein?
Correct.
Eating breakfast?
Correct.
Or you are? I don't know what your system is.
Okay, I need to eat breakfast.
Okay. Protein. Okay.
Just like fish and vegetables and chicken.
Yeah, well, you know what to eat. You've been around me long enough.
My whole life around you.
Just checking to see. All right, so here's the results. So, like, I don't think the week, I expected more. I expected more. I'm not doing more. I mean, my workouts were great this week, I thought, but eating was pretty good. My results just kind of sucked this week. I just thought.
Okay, that makes me feel better. I thought it was going to, like, crush me. That's why I was.
Yeah, well, there's the numbers up there. I mean, I think, you know, not great numbers this week, but like 2 weeks, I'm counting on the next 2 weeks anyway. I definitely feel a lot better. I feel so much better because I know I'm not. You know, even to the degree where I was eating good, but not eating well, like not eating throughout the day. If you don't eat, you know, if I don't eat every few hours, then it really messes up my body. Not like I need to eat bad, but just something. I need to eat something every couple hours. It works for me. So I've been better about that aspect of it, but it's going to show up in the results, whether that's happening or not anyway. So it looks like, in your mind, you're thinking you're going to be on Mockley Road in Livingston?
No, we still have 2 weeks. I can go like extreme.
All right. Don't hurt yourself now.
Okay.
You know, it's not that big a deal.
I'm going to be on Mockley Road, okay? I'm just kidding.
We're going to film that live.
Oh, my God. To the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with justice and liberty for all. Amen. Testing.